And something that occurred to me as I was talking was, if you don't have a lot to contribute to this topic, it might be a good episode for when you're dying.
That's true.
Because you can just mute your mic and
the perfect death episode.
So rotation is kind of a scary topic, especially when it comes to new players who may not have experienced a rotation. I know that you are very excited for it, but you haven't actually gone through one.
Yeah. Well, I remember when you first told me about rotation, I think I was distinctly not excited about it. Like, I understood right. the positives of it, but wasn't pleased about the idea of my cards not being usable anymore.
Yeah.
But after playing Lorcana for however long I've been playing Lorcana.
Yeah, like 2 years.
Yeah, I now am like, well, wait a second. This could be pretty exciting.
Yeah, I think that sentiment does exist throughout the community, where when you present rotation to somebody who isn't familiar with it, whether or not they have never played a card game with it or this is their first card game, which I think is the case for a lot of Lorcana players, I think it is a very scary kind of impending doom type of idea. And I think the cynical nature of, I don't know, people in general try to or tend to think of it as just a cash grab. And I'm not gonna lie, I think that there is some valid criticism there of a company constantly needs to promote its new product. If you create an environment where only the new product is relevant, then obviously those two things are gonna align with business interests.
I have no problems with Ravensburger making money. I want them to be successful so that the game continues. So
yeah, I agree. And I think it's an interesting tension between the player base and the company, where we as a player base want this game to continue, obviously, because we play the game, but we also don't want a kind of predatory business practices to take advantage of us. You know, we don't want to be taken advantage of, but at the same time, we do need the business to make money or else we don't have a game to play. So it's this tension between those two things. What is good business practice that will continue the game long term versus what is good for the player base? And I think that there are arguments to be made that things that create a long-term game are not good for the player base, and vice versa. I think rotation is a interesting idea that kind of can fall on both sides of it. So we have talked about rotation a couple times on the show already, and we are both, at least right now, we are both heavily proponents of rotation. I am a proponent of rotation from experience. You have not yet experienced one, so we'll check back in September to see how you feel.
Yeah, obviously I could feel completely different than, you know, a real roller coaster ride for myself, but
right.
Right now, all I keep thinking is how amazing it's going to be to see all these cards that have been around for a while suddenly start getting played because all the typical cards are gone.
I think rotation is very interesting. As somebody who has gone through a rotation several times, it can get a little taxing. And that is a completely valid feeling. I think nobody is wrong for feeling as though it is it is mentally and monetarily taxing on you to go through rotation multiple times. This first one, I think, is going to be a very, very good thing to happen to the game. Like you said, we're going to get an opportunity to reevaluate all of these cards from sets 5 through 8 that we had overlooked. You know, rotation in a way kind of is re-releasing those sets to us and saying, it's a completely different context than when these were first released. Figure out what's good now.
Right. And you had originally thought that a rotation would happen much later with and keep more sets in play. But the fact that once the first rotation happens, we're only going to have 5 sets.
Yeah.
It really means that those sets 5 through 8 are gonna be the bulk of our cards, and that's just really cool.
All right, so just real quick, for people who may not have been through a rotation or maybe don't quite understand what the mechanics of a rotation are, here is a quick breakdown. In August, with the release of Fabled, they are going to be rotating out the first 4 sets. So that is the first chapter, Rise of the Floodborn, Into the Inklands, and Ursula's Return. Any cards that are printed in those sets and in those sets only will not be available for core constructed play. So, what does that mean for you when it comes to preparing for a rotation? Well, there's a couple things. When you see that something is going to be printed in Fabled, if that card would have rotated out because its original printing was in sets 1 through 4, that's going to stay within the core constructed format now and stay available for play regardless of which copy that you have. So you could have a set 1 version or you could have a set 9 version. You can play with either of those.
Which is nice. That's cool.
Yeah. And that's, I would say that's pretty standard practice. I mean, that's how Magic does it, and that's my basis for it.
Well, and I think about, like, Rapunzel Gifted with Healing that I only got, like, a couple months ago. And have yet to play with it. That sort of thing is fabulous, to not have to think about getting it again when you've, like, just got your play set.
Yeah, that would be a great example if Rapunzel was getting reprinted. I think probably a better example would be like Sapphire Hades from set 1, because that's a pretty pricey card, but it is getting reprinted, so you don't have to worry about like buying a set 9 copy. When you are looking at spoilers for Fabled and you're looking at the reprints that exist, that is something to keep an eye on, which is, what cards are they reprinting? And more specifically, what cards aren't they reprinting? So what is actually going to fall out of the core constructed format? Mm-hmm. It has been my opinion for a very long time that I think, as much as I like and play the Merlin Mim package, I'm really glad they didn't reprint it, because I think it is too much of the Amethyst identity that it is stifling what else Amethyst could be doing in any Amethyst X deck, you know?
Do you think it needs to leave entirely or just not have all of the pieces? Like,
I think all of the current pieces need to leave.
Mm.
And if they want to make different versions, you know, like, we have other Mims. I don't know if we have other Merlins, but we have other Mims that are surviving rotation, and that's fine. I mean, if they wanted to print different Mims and different Merlins that had the same sort of self-bounce and do something when it enters and leaves, that's fine. I just don't want the new core constructed format to have the same goat bounce goat momentum
sure.
that this one has had since set 2. Because the biggest benefit to rotation is moving on.
Yeah.
So keep an eye on what is getting reprinted. Keep an eye on what is not getting reprinted. And as you start thinking of what decks could there be post-rotation, think about the existing decks that we have right now and what they're losing. So we know that the Amethyst decks aren't getting Madamim Fox or Merlin Goat or Rabbit back, and we know that the Amber Steel Song decks are losing Rapunzel, and they're losing A Whole New World and Cinderella and Let the Storm Rage On. And that's not even getting into the fact that we won't have Be Prepared anymore. And this is going to be the first time since the game started that we don't have that level of a board wipe. So what do control decks look like in this new format? These decks have to change. So the question is, how much are they changing? And will the deck still be recognizable afterwards?
Doesn't it feel like infinite questions, though? Like, how can you plan ahead for that?
I mean, we got spoilers. We got the full list 2 weeks before rotation, and we got a lot of the most powerful cards that are probably going to define the meta well before that. So I mean, you have time to prepare when it comes to something like that. Start looking at the cards in sets 5 through 8. That maybe got overlooked because a technically better option existed.
Yeah.
Like, look at the Amethyst 4-cost cards that exist that weren't played because Merlin Goat was in that slot.
Yeah. I like that idea. I like the idea of kind of pretending that 1 through 4 won't be around, like, at all. And then just being pleasantly surprised and having additional support for what you're trying to make work in 5 through 8.
I think that's a great exercise for any future rotation. Look at the sets that are staying in and just treat every other card as though they don't exist. Mm-hmm. And then when the next set comes out, you can be pleasantly surprised if something does get reprinted. Or just treat the reprints as purely new cards because the environment that they are being printed into is going to be different.
Right. Ugh, it's so fun. It's fun. I like it.
World of infinite possibilities. Mm-hmm. So what do we do with the cards that aren't getting reprinted? So you have your playset of Rapunzels.
Throw them in the trash.
Yeah, burn them. They're no longer worth anything.
Yeah.
End of discussion. So I think the first question that you need to ask yourself is, are you going to play Infinity? And there's several factors that lead into that. But I'd say the first one is, are you interested in playing Infinity? Or are you only interested in playing Core Constructed? Up until now, we were all kind of playing Infinity.
Right.
And so that's why I kind of don't understand the hesitance to play Infinity moving forward, because before rotation was announced, that was just the way we were playing. So the criticism of, oh, now I constantly have to buy the new sets doesn't really make sense to me, because that was always the case. You were always going to have to buy at least some of the new sets in order to keep up with the full format. And so I think if you wanted to only play Core Constructed, I think that that's a completely reasonable take to have, because I think that that is going to be the premier competitive format, and it's going to be the one that's most popular. So what you can do is, prior to rotation, once we know what cards aren't getting reprinted or what cards are getting reprinted, identify the players in your area that will be playing Infinity, and those are the people that you're going to get the highest trade equity with when you say, hey, I've got Rapunzels, do you have Rapunzels? You're playing Infinity, right? They may, right? But maybe they don't. And you can trade for higher powered standard cards for your higher powered Infinity cards.
Yeah, that's very interesting. If both formats are being supported, it does sound like it's only going to help trading, doesn't it?
Yeah, well, and so you also need to determine, like, the trade value of cards is very volatile.
Oh, yeah.
You know? You'll notice as soon as rotation happens, I mean, even when rotation was announced, card prices immediately tanked. And that makes sense, you know? When rotation happens, I expect Rapunzel's price to drop.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how much it will drop is anybody's guess. That's dependent on so many different factors that it's hard to say. But I do expect her value to drop. So when you are making trades, I mean, you have to keep that in mind. If you trade before rotation, you're going to get a higher value, but then you're not going to be able to play those cards prior to rotation, obviously. And then you also have to think about whether or not Infinity is going to be a Ravensburger supported format. You have to determine if your local area is going to support those tournaments. In our community, I would say we have a higher than likely shot at supporting both formats because we have quite a few stores that all do different events on different nights. And I would not be surprised if, you know, two stores in the area was like, okay, well, our Tuesday tournament is going to be Infinity format from now on.
Yeah.
And this guy over here is like, our Thursday format's going to be Infinity. And then you can play Standard on Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and you can play Infinity on Tuesday, Thursdays, you know, and you can kind of split up the player base that way if you wanted to. I think a lot of it is going to be dependent on what the player base wants to determine that. But if you have the support in your local community to support both formats, then that's heavily going to play into how you interact with rotation. And I think, at least at the very beginning, with the release of Set 9, I think you have a higher shot of supporting Infinity. If you are listening now and you really want to play Infinity, I think your best chance of getting a steady player base is going to be advocating for Infinity right at the beginning of rotation.
Oh, yeah. I can't imagine, like, getting into later sets and trying to implement Infinity after the fact. Like,
right. Yeah, you're going to fall into the trap that Magic has fallen into when it comes to their Legacy format, where the buy-in is really cost prohibitive. But, like I said before, we're basically playing Infinity right now. And so when Set 9 releases, all of the people who have been playing Lorcana up until now still have those cards.
Right.
And so if you say, hey, we are going to actively support the Infinity format in our community, you have a good chance of hooking those people who maybe don't like rotation.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe just want to play with Merlins and Mims, you know? The likelihood that you get them, like you said, in sets 10, 11, 12, after maybe a new player came in and they only have cards starting at set 5, they are going to be much harder to hook into the Infinity format than other people who've been playing since set 1.
Right. Yeah, I mean, that makes me feel like whether I want to play both or not, I want to go ahead and play both to support it, because I love the idea of both being around.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think my plan has always been, I have complete sets of 1 through 7, and I'm not going to be selling off my set 1 through 4 cards.
No.
They're just going to hang out. And if Infinity is not a supported format, then I just won't be playing those cards. But I really want both formats to succeed, because I think it's a very cool environment to have a Legacy format where, you know, Hyrum isn't banned in Infinity.
I was specifically thinking about good old Hyrum, but I'm like, don't poke that bear. I'm just going to leave that alone. That bear is
Are
me,
you the
I
bear?
Think. I'm the bear.
Hyrum isn't banned. Fortisphere isn't banned. We don't have a ban list for Infinity.
Does that same thing apply to erratas? Like, is Bucky in his original form?
No.
Okay.
And that was part of my reasoning for not liking erratas is, no, Bucky is not in his original form.
Interesting.
In Infinity. They changed the card text.
That makes sense.
But if you look at the ban and restricted, or if you look at the ban announcement for Hiram and Fortisphere, they specifically say that he's banned in core constructed.
Right.
Now,
yes.
At the time, that was the only format that we had.
And I think they said during the lore cast, like, that there would be a separate, I mean, we've definitely talked about it and we know that there would be a separate ban list, but I think they said that in the lore cast as well.
Yeah, no, Infinity and Core Constructed are going to have different ban lists because they have different meta games.
Yeah.
Something that is powerful in Core Constructed may not necessarily be too powerful for Infinity, and that is absolutely the way they have to do it. I don't know whether or not they're going to consider Hiram and Fortisphere problematic in Infinity, because it's sort of the same context in which they were banned originally.
Well,
you know, like,
they shouldn't,
at least right now,
they shouldn't consider anything problematic in Infinity until it's given a chance to create a meta for itself.
Correct. Yes. And I think that that is the way that they should. And I think that that is the way that they are going to approach it. If and when there are Infinity tournaments, if we see that Sapphire Steel is as dominant as it was previously, then yes, they should take action. I don't think they should do it before that, especially because we are going to get a set and a half, if you consider Fable a half set. We're going to get an additional set and a half to redefine the context that Hiram and Fortisphere are played in.
Yeah, it might completely balance itself.
Exactly. And I think, and the larger the card pool, the more likely it is that things do self-correct.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that is fine. But kind of back to my point, which is Infinity existing allows for all of the different synergies from across the game to have a place to shine. And Core Constructed can just be its own isolated part of the game that says, how do we make the best of this restriction? Because restrictions are really interesting. Restrictions are a good thing when it comes to creative endeavors of any kind. And deck building is a creative endeavor. You have the restriction of only allowing these cards, and you have to figure out the puzzle of, how do these cards work together, and how do I win the game based off of those? And I really like Core Constructed as a restrictive puzzle. Infinity, on the flip side, is no restrictions. How do you use this blank canvas to win the game? And I think both of those present really interesting opportunities, and I think that they should both be allowed to exist and flourish, but we do need to support that if we want them both to exist.
Right.
I think it'll be really interesting. I think rotation is going to be really interesting because, you know, we just got Ludwig von Drake, which is a really powerful card, especially for its ink cost, but it's in Amber Sapphire. And that historically has not been a very good deck. But it hasn't historically not been a very good deck because of all of the other decks around it doing more powerful things. Here's the thing. People are going to get upset because Core Constructed is inherently going to be less powerful than what we have experienced so far. You are going to play worse cards. But I don't think that that's a bad thing. I think that that is actually a good thing, because you are going to play cards that initially did not have the power level to stand up to the most powerful cards in all of the game. But with those cards gone, the relative power level of all of the other cards changes. And so now you have the opportunity to play cards that were probably, you know, all of the cards that were like just not good enough. I can't play this card into a Popsicle meta. I can't play this card into a Goat Merlin meta. It's just not good enough. It's just not fast enough, whatever the reason is. All of those cards' contexts are now going to change. And I think that makes for a really interesting format. It's a less powerful format, but it's a more interesting format. And that means that new sets do not constantly have to be raising the bar on the cards that they print. We don't have to get something that interacts with problematic cards from the first four sets. Think about how many times people were upset that there was like a 3-power legendary and the response was, oh, it dies to Madame Medusa.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. We get to kind of reset all of that. We don't have those very specific restrictions that aren't really restrictions,
right.
But if you wanted to stick around.
Yeah, I mean, and that's good card evaluation. You know, if you think of cards and you're like, okay, well, this is going to come down on turn 5. And then if I'm playing against a Ruby deck, they're going to have Madame Medusa on turn 6. Or I have to assume that they have Madame Medusa on turn 6. What has this card done if it gets removed immediately? And that is a power creep that exists in other games that make it very difficult to print cards that are relevant and also of a lower power level, you know?
Yeah.
So because Madame Medusa did not get reprinted, it's unlocked a bunch of other cards that may have been stifled only because of her presence in the metagame.
Yeah. Yeah. Ugh, that's so cool.
Yeah. I'm very excited for it. If you guys have questions about what to expect from rotation, please let us know. Drop us a comment.
Ask me specifically, and I will tell you what I think will happen.
That would be really fun. Ask a question, and then we'll have Amy answer.
And then
we'll see how close she is to the actual answer.
Me.
Yeah, exactly. You know, you're going to say something and be like, yeah, that's, yep.
You're like,
no further comment.
Well, could be.
Maybe. Well, I think that's where we're going to leave it today. Leave us a comment on YouTube. We're at Inca Podcast on YouTube and Spotify and Apple and Twitter and everywhere except Instagram. We're at Inca Podcast, Play a Podcast. I just learned that for some reason, Apple Podcasts, like, it really matters if you leave reviews on there. And so, like, I don't know, do that if you can, if you want to. I don't know. That'd be cool.
Yeah.
Do it. We have a website, incapodcast.com, that we keep updated for the most part. If you haven't listen to or seen our other episodes, they're all on there. I think we have plans for the website to do something with it,
yeah,
aside from just hosting our episodes.
Yeah, it'll grow.
But we haven't gotten to it yet. I'm thinking we're gonna do like articles on there or something. Maybe less serious articles.
Right. Yeah.
But until then, you know, just like constantly refresh that site and just make sure that, you know, it's working. I got a whole bunch of random Jafar cards that I gotta organize, so I'm gonna...
Yeah, no kidding. I'm
gonna hit the road.
Just in a pile, just waiting.
God, I need to figure out how I'm gonna organize my cards. Rotation sucks.
Rotation's the worst.
Never mind. Forget everything I said. I hate rotation. I had such a good organization system prior to this, and now I have to rethink everything.
Yeah. Well,
catalogs are so expensive.
I mean, we did say you should just throw them away.
You know what? At this point, maybe I will.
I mean, I think that's... Well, it's definitely the easiest thing.
Cool. Nice. That was tight.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah, I'm going to stop recording.
Yeah, me too.